Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Indigenous Radio Service. Yarn up strong, you mob. Deadly number here is 1-800-422-416. All right, Director of 37. We're talking Adam Goods award cry, his jersey. The number was immortalised, 37. It's loud and brash, a match between top dogs and underdogs that packed some serious bites. Featuring an ensemble of 10 performers, this highly physical production is a little sweary and little very sweaty, you could say. Look, with that, I'm going to talk to Isaac Drendick, Director of 37. On the line, Isaac, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. Yeah, I'm well, thanks.
Thank you, brother, for coming to the program. Before we start, let the mob know who you mob, where you from.
Yeah, so my name's Isaac Drandich. I'm a Noongar man from the southwest of Western Australia. I currently live in Gimwe, in Cairns,
yes,
with my family, and I'm in-law for Yidinji and Miriam. Mob from Murray Island in Torres Strait.
Beautiful. Good footprint. Good footprint, my brother. Thank you very much. So we're talking about a live performance on stage. The director of 37 that you are. So tell us about 37. I know that we're talking about it's named and after the and numbered after the immortalized of the Deadly brother, Adam Goods. Tell us the stories. Paint the picture there, please, brother.
Yeah, so 37's a story about that centres around a country football club, Australian Rules Football Club, for all you northern mob up there. This country football club has been, they've been sort of bottom of the ladder for quite some time, but they've got this new coach, and slowly they're building towards a grand final, the ultimate glory in AFL culture.
Mm.
And they haven't quite got there yet, so they recruit two new Aboriginal players to the team.
Yes.
And it's what they think, that, you know, they've got this X factor now, so they believe that they can go all the way and win this premiership.
Mm.
However, things go a little bit south during the Indigenous round that the AFL holds every year to celebrate the contribution that Aboriginal people have made to the great game of AFL. And during this game, the Sydney Swans are wearing their Indigenous Guernseys. I believe that they were designed by Adam Goods's mum on this occasion.
Yes.
And Adam Goods does, from Adam's words, a war cry, which is a dance that he learnt with the under-16 Aboriginal All-Stars team. And so he does this sort of beautiful war cry dance and shakes the spear at the Carlton cheer squad.
Mm.
And from that moment on, within the play, a whole bunch of sort of discourse takes place between the players, and they're calling it an act of aggression and an act, a declaration of war on white Australia. And then that basically starts to implode in this football club. And then we see sort of racial tensions heat up.
Mm.
That's the gist of it.
Fantastic. So we're talking about 10 people on stage, is that right?
Yeah, it's a 10-hander.
Mm.
There's 8 Miglus in the work, and two Aboriginal lads, Tibian Wiles and Nagali Shaw.
Yep.
And it's a really highly physical production, as you can imagine.
Fantastic. So we're talking about football. So we're talking about a football on stage and kicking to each other. Is that picture painted?
We had to find theatrical ways to represent football. And so I, myself and Wanika Blanco, co-choreographed this work. Now, Wanika's Well, he's a Merriam man who's from Innisfail originally, and he was a dancer with Bangarra for 14 years.
Yes.
So we co-choreographed this work together, and we really took it out of the sort of literal representation of football and sport on stage, and we turned it into sort of more of a stylized piece. Mm. And the reason why that is because Marnbrook, the original game of where AFL was derived from,
yes.
which is a word from the Gunditjmara mob down in southwestern Victoria. Now, the inventor who's credited as inventing the game of Australian rules football lived in the area and grew up speaking language and playing with the young children down there who played Marnbrook growing up.
Mm.
And so there's this historical connection between the AFL, the modern-day game, and this traditional game of Marnbrook. So we've taken this idea where the choreography and the movement is inspired by traditional Aboriginal movement and dance that then has evolved and transformed into the modern day game of AFL football. Our movement palette really takes into account all of that rich history and that rich cultural movement.
So is there a football on stage as such, Jose?
Yeah, we use a football on stage, several times. We see a couple of training drills.
Yes.
And the actors have done a very good job of that. Most of them don't play football.
Okay, good.
So we had to do quite a bit of work on the handball.
Yeah, well, we say don't act, but that's what the mob are doing, they're acting. So, you know, that comes to the surface, doesn't it?
That's right. And a few of the lads are from New South Wales and, you know... rugby league players, that's right.
Dancers.
Never picked up a football, AFL football in their life. So.
Yeah, no, beautiful. So, look, performing... So, are you travelling around the country or just Queensland? And where are your performances? And how can people come along and see the performance, brother?
Right now, we just opened on Saturday in the Billy Brown Theatre in Meanjin here in Brisbane.
Yes.
And the play runs till May the 4th.
Okay.
So there's a few weeks left still. So get in, get your tickets because it's a hot show.
Fantastic. Look, good yarning with you, Isaac. Thank you very much and congratulations. Big shout out to the mob, to the team there. It is a team effort. Pardon the pun, we're talking about 37, Adam Goods, Warcry. Two beautiful, brother. Thank you for the yarn. You take care and we'll yarn soon.
Thank you very much. I'll see you soon for a coffee up there.
Sounds good, my brother. Take care. Bye-bye.
Yo.
Beautiful yarn there. Isaac Drendrick is his name. He's the director of 37 and set within the era of Adam Goods' Warcry. Look, a live performance on stage, 10 performers, and look, named after the number, the immortalised 37 is loud. Brash match between the top dogs and underdogs that packs some serious bite, as I mentioned, featuring an ensemble of 10 performers, and this highly physical production is a little sweary and very sweaty. So do check it out. Happening in Brisbane at the moment, and look, travelling around the state, so coming to a theatre near you. All right, your mob, have your say, yarn up strong, deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. Yeah, yarning with Bully on here, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, and we're live at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns on your dingy country. That's BBM Bumbadrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation. Thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service, and big shout out to the NERS team, too deadly. National Talk Black.
Pack girl, see him talking about me. Ride around with a smiley on me. Get it a win and got it.
Hey.
Mama gave me life, the attitude is my daddy. Bless him, I'm gon' get it for him.
Get it for him.
I bought it, I'm gon' give it to him.
Give it to him.
I was always gonna make it.
Hey.
Never drop the ball, nobody's gon' take it.
He wakes up every morning, one thing on his mind. This ain't just a game, it's a way of life. Watching the players on his TV screen, saying I can do that, I wanna live that dream. So he stays focused with his goals ahead. Never lose a sight from the words that he said. Full of confidence, no doubt in his head. Still no rest after the blood, tears and sweat. Stays out late at the park after dark. Ball in his hand, in his eyes is a spark. Prepares for the weekend, big game coming up. Grand final fever, don't believe in being runner-up. To know where he's going, gotta know where he's from. The sacrifice he made to train for this game. This story is his, a dreamer with big dreams. Only thing on his mind is that grand victory.
To the ground, I can hear the crowd roar. Drag him to the floor, I can hear that crowd bar. It's what I live for, just to give the crowd more. It's what I live for, just to hear that crowd roar. Just to hear that crowd roar.
See, you know where I come from, and I know where I'm going.
Brother, single mother. The man was never there, so we never met his father. Every Saturday he went down to the ground to support his big brother, and from there his love was found. From that point on, only had one goal. Put his heart in this game so he can make it to the pros. All the years of training prepared him for this moment. Knows what he gotta do, don't let up for his opponent.
To the ground, I can hear the crowd roar.
Now he's on like a backpack, a top pick, reps his team on his snapback. Remembers the journey, deja vu when I was
right back. Just to give the crowd more.
Does it for the crowd, makes his hometown proud. The cheers get loud when he steps onto the ground. Wanted this his whole life and he's addicted to the sound.
I can hear that crowd roar.
Let him know about.
I can hear that crowd roar.
See, you know where I come from, and you know where I'm going. It ain't a dream that I run from. We on, we on, we on. Get the ball with the fellas. Hey. Great Barney here, I'm talking about great I am.
Great I am.
I feel it like a kid on. We on, we on, we on. See, you know where I come from.
I know where I come from.
And I know where I'm going.
And I know where I'm going.
It ain't a dream that I run from. We on, we on, we on. I get the ball with the fellas. Great Barney here, I'm talking about great I am.
Malvoy, and you're tuned into National Talk Black, Trevor Tim, Trendy Turb, Murray from the Curry via BBM 98.7 FM, also NERS, National Indigenous Radio Service.
Find a lover in a bummer that will never break your heart. So good to you, I'll never give you up. On my way, I'll come and get you in my car. That's the first thing I wanna do. Ain't gonna tease ya, do things you never knew I'd do to ya. Straight from my heart, feel my love. No matter where you are the one for me. Well, it's a come, baby, here I come, come. You're undercover lover, not a bummer on the run. Don't mess with the rest, get distressed, my queen. I'll be your candidate lot, if you know what I mean. I saw you standing there with a smile like Cinderella. I wondered if you kick it with a fine young brother like me. So tell me, do I pass the test? Cause this bottle's coming at you above all the rest.
Man, I'm an Ali. More is gay, carry along. Kotaka mel, Kareem. Mena manali, marim natagri. My love, I need you. Honest, I do. Now that I'm leaving, all of my thoughts, they will be of you. Remembering the love that used to be. Please come back to me, darling, I need you. My love, I need you. Honest, I do. Mena Manali, Almor is gay, Kari alam, Kotaka mer, Kari. Mena Manali, Marim Natagri. My love, I need you. Honest, I do. Manali, Almor is gay, Kari alam, Kotaka mer, Kari. Mena Manali, Marim Natagri. My love, I need you. Honest, I do. Now that I'm leaving, all of my thoughts, they will be of you. Remembering the love that used to be. Please come back to me, darling, I need you. My love, I need you. Honest, I do.
With Tribala, one name you make it. Girl, will you? No, no, bala, you pick him. I wanna take him, but him look Brazil. Him cafe, so say, see, so Brazil. Hey, look out, are you no make it this kind? I go mother, try him bala one time. Try him, look out, I might him gaman. If him go look, you go mother, get the eye. Pole, I try from KC all kind, gama. I take him go, I say, get the hand from Ama. If I get a white one, I'ma no like. I'm on to fix skin mask got black. I go get a black girl, I'ma okay. If I can't find a one, I'ma which way? What am I gonna do? I go stop this time. I'ma go lose it, call him, I go lose your mind. I go kiss a gamma when you go look me dance. While you can beat me, you got no sense. If I let go get now, don't try for beating me. Cause I go mother carry you, make a swap I see. Find a lover in a baller that will never break your heart. So pity ya, I'll never give you up. On my way, I'll come and get you in my car. That's the first thing I wanna do. Ain't gonna tease ya, do things you never knew I do to ya. Straight from my heart, feel my love. No matter where you are the one for me. Well, it's a come, baby, here I come. Come, you're undercover lover, not a brother on the run. Don't mess with the rest, get distressed, my queen. I'll be your candy delight, if you know what I mean. I saw you standing there with a smile like Cinderella. No wonder if you could...
Hey, what get on your mob? It's me, Bushtaka Bungie. And you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
All right, now, the Future Made in Australia Act provides an unmissable opportunity to embed First Nations outcomes. The First Nations Clean Energy Network welcomes Prime Minister Anthony Albanese's plans for a future Made in Australia Act, but caution must not be at the expense of nor take for granted First Nations consent. As the First Nation Clean Energy Network has noted, the United States Inflation Reduction Act has set a precedent not only for being the largest investment in climate and energy in Australia, in history, sorry, but also the recognition of the key role that First Nations play in clean energy and economic transition efforts. Canada, likewise, in its response to the United States Inflation Reduction Act, has similarly realised that establishing and incentivising the right partnership with First Nation is an investment decision. With that, I'm going to catch up with Yana with Chris Coker, co-chair of the First Nation Clean Energy Network, and we have Chris on the line. Chris, good morning.
Hi, Trevor. How are you?
Yeah, I'm well, Chris. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Where are you based, Chris?
I'm down in Nam in Victoria.
Okay, thank you very much. Look, a very important space. The Future Made in Australia Act provides an unmissable opportunity to embed First Nations outcomes. So, yes, we are at the table, but we should not be taken for granted being at the table, yep?
No, yeah, definitely, that's right. I think we would all agree that the Australian Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese's plan for this Future Made in Australia Act is ambitious and could position Australia to be, as the government's saying, a global renewable energy superpower. But we can't have that happen without Aboriginal Torres Strait Islanders, our First Nations communities, being consulted,
sure,
being engaged, and you know, we definitely can't be taken for and granted. Yes, so I would agree, Trev.
And thank you. So look at your First Nation Clean Energy Network. So how many, are we talking tribal people at the table? How long has this been going on for, and how far are we travelling? How far are we going with it? Is there meat on the bone, so to speak?
Yeah, definitely. So some of the listeners may recall that the First Nations Clean Energy Network, you know, we founded it about 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
In response to all of the clean energy developments that's been happening, you know, across the country, on our traditional lands, you know, largely without our engagement or consent. So we needed to, you know, mobilise, stand up,
yes,
make sure we educate our mob so that we can, you know, be active and we can negotiate better and make sure that we're not getting taken advantage of, and we're having a role to play in this energy transition. You know, there's literally thousands of jobs coming online,
sure,
billions of dollars being invested. Families are enjoying the benefits of clean energy through rooftop solar and the like, so their own electricity bills are much cheaper, and
yes,
you know, able to keep their houses warm in summer and warm in winter. But, you know, that's not the same for most Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander communities. You know, we're still on the fringe. We're missing out all of those economic benefits. So the network, we're a national not-for-profit. We have about 600 members, Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander people and organisations spread around the country. And as I am not-for-profit, we're about capacity building,
yes,
making sure that we, you know, educate our mob and we can make sure that when we come to the table, we know the right questions to ask. We can be able to steer the ship, be able to steer the conversation to make sure land's protected, we're receiving benefits, and, you know, we're not just being taken for granted. As my colleague, who's also co-chair, Karina Nolan, you know, quite often states, you know, we want to see this change happen because it's about addressing the effects of climate change and mitigating the pollution,
yep,
but we can't see the mistakes of the past be repeated again with this new wave of development going on across the country.
Exactly. And when we're talking members or people who are at the table, are we talking traditional owners? Are we talking entrepreneurs, black people in business? Are we talking about elders? Who's at the table as such and regarding the membership of the network?
Yeah, so it covers a whole range. It's membership's basically open to all Aboriginal Torres Strait Islanders across the country. So we have, you know, elders, one of my good old friends, Les Schultz from WA, he's an elder for He's a Mob. There's many people like that are actively involved. Aboriginal businesses, Torres Strait Islander businesses are also members. Some of our biggest land councils are also members, through to you know, the native title groups, the PBCs that look after native title rights, but also, you know, mums and dads, uncles and aunties are also involved as well. One of the things, you know, I'm a little bit older now, being just over 50.
Mm.
One of those good things is actually we get many more of the younger fellas and younger ladies also paying interest in this space.
Good.
Because, you know, they see, you know, the potential for things to potentially go wrong if we're not engaged, but also there's a lot of opportunity for them. So with a wide spectrum of our members, we also have a lot of supporters, you know, that are not Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander organisations or people, but, you know, they don't, you know, basically get a say into how the organisation is run or steered.
So, sure.
Just some supporters.
And how do people contact you guys? How to get more information? You know, web page as such?
Yeah, definitely. So we're on most of the social media, but just, you know, on the old and fashioned web, you know, just find us at First Nations Clean Energy Network.org.au. There's a lot of information, a lot of resources already available to help inform traditional owners and community groups on, you know, how they can have a say, how they can be involved, and what are the benefits when it comes to clean energy. And, you know, there's more and more opportunities come on, you know, becoming available. Recently, we've, you know, released a media statement, I guess, or a guide in response to the Australian government's Future Made in Australia Act.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the big things that we're really calling for, which actually would benefit Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders across the country, is that we need to really, or government, we're looking to government to really incentivise better First Nations outcomes and make sure that they're really embedded in this, in the centre of this Future Made in Australia Act. We don't want to be pushed to the side. We want to make sure that we're, you know, firmly being considered and having a right to exercise our self-determination and, you know, ethnic rights.
Yes.
Because, you know, this is, you know, some people say this is a once-in-a-generation investment by the Australian government and industry in this type of development and, you know, the money being invested. And, you know, we want to make sure that Aboriginal Torres Strait Islanders are also benefiting from that, that capital taxpayer-funded investment as well.
Exactly. Chris Coker, thank you very much. Look, a very important space. And, we're at the table and not to be taken for granted. Thank you very much. We will yarn soon. Please do keep in touch. And big shout-out to your members. Thank you.
Thanks, brother. Talk soon. Bye.
Take care. Bye, Chris. Adela Yarn there, Chris Coker, co-chair of the First Nation Clean Energy Network, and the Future Made in Australian Act provides an unmissable opportunity to embed First Nation outcomes. So thanks to the Prime Minister of Anthony Albanese, Prime Minister of Australia, who's the First Nation Clean Energy Network, who plans for a Future Made in Australia Act. But cautious is this must be at the expense or not take for granted First Nation content. So very important space. But yes, we are front and centre in regard to this conversation. So very important, looking after the future of this country as well. And First Nation people need to be front and centre, of course. Have you saying Yarn Up Strong to the conversation here. National Talk Black.
In the river land, born of her mother, into her mother's hands. She was free as the river was wild. She was so innocent, such a beautiful child. Institutions. What
could they do with this child? Where was the need solution? But there was nothing they could do, so they gave her to the streets. And she joined all the rest of the hungry and the tired feet.
Janda Banapi Bamanda, Janda Bakatjanda Bamanda. We got Talk Black with Uncle Trevor, Murray from the Curry. Call in on 1-800-422-416, 98.7 FM, BBM.
All right, Yana Strong. Now, silence is not an option for First Nations content in Australian schools. Authentic and sometimes confronting Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander content is helping the next generation of Australian teachers be more socially responsible and inclusive, say University of South Australia experts. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Dr. Sam Osborne, co-researcher and Uni South Australia, Associate Director of Regional Engagement, and also have Professor Kathy Page from University of South Australia, adjunct associate online. And a very good morning to you both. How are you? Hello.
Good morning.
Hello
yes.
there.
Here, Dr. Sam and Professor Kathy, yes?
Yes, you have us here.
Good morning to you both. Look, talk about it. Silence is not an option for First Nations content in Australian schools. So where are we at regarding teachers and how are they taught or what are they using in regarding getting information across the table and to engage and build a bridge, so to speak, for our First Nations students?
It's a really good question, and I guess it's taken over quite a significant period of time to develop the program. Mm. I've worked in the teacher education for 25 years, and in primary, middle, mathematics and science. So it's that cohort of pre-service teachers that we have been working with, perhaps more intensely over the last 8 or 9 years to increase their confidence to embed Indigenous ways of knowing in their maths and science lesson plans in particular, so that as they go out as beginning teachers, they have some confidence in that space and some knowledge.
Exactly. Professor Kathy, thank you. Over to you, Dr. Sam. Input, please.
Oh, thank you. Look, for me, I
work very much in remote schools, and I think there are some really good examples of teachers who find out what's happening in communities, what's important to communities, and what they can make curricula to engage students, families, communities, local languages, country, so on and so forth. And I think there are others who really struggle. I think it's a little bit patchy in remotes, and it kind of depends on often the experience, and to use that word again, confidence, or even I suppose motivation of teachers. It's not really so much across the board embedded in curriculum that people pick up and simply teach.
So it's well, it's not in the curriculum, is what you're saying, Dr. Sam.
No, it absolutely is. And this is the thing, is that in the cross-curriculum priorities of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander cultures and histories, it's embedded throughout and in all the subject areas. I suppose particularly in remote communities, you know, often attendance at school can be a little bit lower. People feel like, you know, they need to fix NAPLAN, for example, which is the literacy and numeracy testing that happens every year in English. So often, you know, there are, it's sort of like back to basics, and so large swathes of other things don't get covered, even though they might sit in curriculum documents. And I suppose that's why I'm saying in remote schools it tends to be a little bit more of a teacher choice, I think.
So can let me ask a question in regard to students that they're studying to become a high school teacher, primary school teacher. Is that in the education in regarding their degree as such, First Nation content?
I actually can't hear Sam's response, but what the primary teachers and middle school teachers, they have a 4-year degree and they do 2 minors, so they do 4 units of work in science and 4 units in math, and that's. But the students that I have in their 4th year in their professional pathway have an expertise in mathematics and science. And then that's where we're embedding the Indigenous ways of knowing with that group of students in particular, or the group that Sam and I've worked with.
So it's compulsory in regarding that part of it?
Well,
yes?
The group that do maths and science, so there's probably 35 each year that put their hand up to do a major in maths and science.
Sure.
And they're specialist primary teachers. They are the group that we've been working with over the last 25 years for me. So so that particular group, and so of course there are other groups that develop their curriculum, but this is the group that we've been working with.
Lovely.
With the maths and science.
Okay, and Professor Cathy, is that, this is uni SA, is that across,
yes,
across the all universities in this country?
I think... There's quite a movement in trying to develop the Indigenous ways of knowing across, and there's certainly one of the IUC standards, professional standards, which encourages First Nations knowledges and their teaching. But in many cases, it's probably improving.
Yes.
But probably if you look in hindsight, it wasn't something that we were doing very well a decade ago.
Okay.
And we've got a long way to go, too.
Long way to go. Of course we do. Yeah. Dr. Sam, would you know anything about cultural awareness in this space in regarding helping our teachers to engage with First Nation students?
I think some areas, for example, when you go into employment, do an orientation type thing. Some do it quite well, some cover off on it a little bit.
Sure.
I think different courses might pick up on that, different courses may not. Certainly for us, we would adopt the language of culturally responsive pedagogies rather than cultural awareness. And one of the reasons is increasingly teachers standing in front of very diverse groups of students, particularly in metropolitan schools.
Exactly.
You may have a group of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander students from various language and cultural backgrounds. You'll have students from refugee backgrounds, various faith, language, class backgrounds. And so, you know, to be aware of everybody's culture is not really realistic. To be able to be, you know, competent and to expertly teach the students their culture is not realistic. But cultural responsivity, which is really a focus for education at UniSA, is about creating a pedagogical space where the students bring their knowledges and assets into the classroom. So yeah, that's right. So those assets of family, culture, community, language, other areas of community life, teachers can actually create a space where students come in, and rather than saying, look, that doesn't apply here because we're doing this sort of knowledge and that doesn't count here, it actually is about making communities curricula. So we're really trying to equip teachers pedagogically rather than giving content to sort of know about the other in that sense.
Okay, and the other thing that comes to mind is when we're talking about operating on country, are we engagement? Is there engagement with traditional owners, elders, so to speak, in regarding where the school sits and to what country they sit on? Is that a factor?
Well, for me personally, I can only really talk about remote spaces where I work. And, like, for example, I tend to work in the APY lands, northwest corner of South Australia, or southwest Northern Territory, Docker River, Murridulu, Irwinpa. They all have very robust land rights. So APY's just celebrated their 40-year freehold land acquisition, the land rights celebration. So those orientations with the department, you know, are always, you know, done with locals, with senior people.
Yes.
When you get to community, you know, a good principal will organise some time out at a sand hill in a creek bed for teachers to sit with community.
Under the gum tree,
that. And that tends to happen.
Exactly. Yeah. Over you, Professor Cathy, is that the case as well regarding engaging with traditional owners and elders from that country where the school sits on country?
Yes, it's certainly something that's promoted. But one of the things that's interesting is these are we're working with our final year's pre-service teachers, and they go out and do a placement, and certainly we encourage them there to connect to local elders and where possible. But you have to think also that they're just beginning to teach, and so this isn't an easy space to start, but we're hoping that they have the confidence to build on that in their first year teaching. So certainly connecting, and it is also really interesting to see the beginning teachers, how many didn't have connections with Indigenous people, or really we were surprised about their lack of confidence through their secondary schooling experiences and things. So that and so it was sort of, we have them in their fourth year, so it's a whole year where we have them half a day every Thursday. So, and then it ends up with a 5-week placement, so they have an opportunity to really be challenged and then develop. And it's still a long way to go, but it's they go out there knowing that there's a lot more to know. And and certainly Sam coming in as a guest speaker talking about red dirt curriculum, watching some of the movies, and it is really challenging for them. And I think that's the bit that we're starting to do in a way that leaves them feeling much more confident to have a go, rather than to say, heck, I don't want to be in that space and make a mistake. So
it creates a platform and confirms the fact that we are all students, are we not?
That's right. And that opportunity to continue to learn, that's a very good point.
Yeah. Dr. Sam, thank you so very much. Professor Cathy, beautiful talking. Fantastic. Let's please keep in touch, and it's a very important space, and let's massage this conversation into the future. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye.
Hello.
A beautiful yarn there, Dr. Sam Osborne, co-researcher and UniSA's Associate Director of Regional Engagement, and Professor Kathy Page, Uni South Australia Adjunct Associate. And silence is not an option for First Nations content in Australian schools. So authentic and sometimes confronting Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander content is helping the next generation of Australian teachers be more social, responsible and inclusive, say University of South Australia experts. Fantastic, beautiful yarn. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Add to the conversation here. Maybe you want to add to that conversation, or maybe you want to start a new one. All ears here on your daily program. National Talk Black, daily number here, 1-800-422-416. Call that number. Yarn with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. And we're live here at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country. BBM, Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Too deadly.